After the last 2 days' discussion, if you can call it that, I think today one observation is must. The attainment of a brain, which is the brain of a disciple. So I'm making the distinction very clearly. The brain of a disciple and the brain of a master. The brain of the master is when the brain of the disciple is perfected. It's not different. The brain of a disciple is the brain who's learning to be a disciple. You see, there is two states naturally people live by. One, they are learning, or next, they are teaching. If the teaching is not part of the person's learning, then the teaching is abusive. While he's teaching, if he's not learning himself, that teaching is abusive. Almost most, if you observe, are so quick to teach, so quick to preach. It is because they want to exert the uncertainty in them and an attempt to lie what they are uncertain about. And whenever you are in the mode of pretending to be a master in that context, you generally would be blind. So the first essential understanding in this context is to rise to be a disciple and to recognize being a disciple is the only way to live life. That means to have the discipline in learning. If you are learning, which means you are moving. In learning means you are exploring. In learning means you are opening. See, people call me a master. I allow it for one reason. Is to help them to remember their disciple. But I know I am a disciple to my masters. My disciplehood has not fallen away. At most, the only claimant I can make is I have mastered it. I have mastered the art of being a disciple. That means to live in perpetual learning, to be so open. To constantly learn. See, you're violent. Is you like to dismiss all and say all that you know is the only thing worth knowing. It is the mindset of a dictator. No matter how friendlily you do it or violently you do it. It is the enforcement of what I see, think, feel, believe is the only thing worth having. And everybody else is blind. This is the seed of violence. I've read a quote. They say war is the business of changing mind. They said war is the business of changing mind. Somebody is a communist, somebody is not. They go to war, they want to change the mind. So if at all you ask after the last 2 days' discussion, what is that one must rise to? Rise to a state of being a disciple, which is to learn the discipline of learning. You see, this whole life is a learning process. Socrates gave us one of the best examples. He was dying. They were poisoning him. And he was in the cell overnight. The next day they're going to kill him. And there was another prisoner playing the harmonica. Or something like that. And he told him, teach me. He said, what kind of man are you? Are you crazy? They're going to kill you tomorrow. Why are you learning to play harmonica? Because you're sure not going to meet any woman and impress her. He said, you don't understand. That is how I've lived. That's all I've lived. I've lived in learning. The greatest thing, see, when you two people get together, you learn so much from each other. You learn about you. If at all you want a personal fulfillment, the fulfillment is in the engagement of learning. Then you constantly learn. The beauty about time is it is not static, it is moving. In movement, it dismisses the past. The past is invalid now, so thus I have to use my intelligence to deal with the present. There has been no handbook for life, none whatsoever. So one of the things that I share with you, or I teach, if somebody say, what do I teach? I teach you to be a disciple. I teach you the art of being a disciple. And I teach you not as a person who has mastered it, a person who has mastered his own way of being that. You see, the moment you open your brain as a disciple and you say, I'm learning. Everything reflects me. I watch. You live in deep openness. Life has a fragrance. You see, the ego always wants to teach. The ego wants to impose its certainty. That's why there was a man who speaks about God a lot. So one day a man asked him, tell me about God. He very smilingly, the old man said, I'm still learning. He said, I'm still learning. All that I've told you is what I've come to see, but I'm still learning. I wonder whether you can rise to that mindset. You see, arrogance and violence is to defy, to say I've concluded. If you really look upon life rightly, it is a journey of self-revelation. It reveals you through many things. When you are poor, it reveals something about you. When you are rich, it reveals something about you. In failure, it reveals something about you. But once you take that mindset, you are blissful. If you take the other mindset, you are violent. Then there is a upflowing energy. Whenever you say, I'm learning, whenever you say, I'm exploring, I'm open, I'm allowing, there is a upflow of energy instantaneously. You see, a disciplehood is a personal thing. You can say, I'm a disciple towards so and so. That's fine. That is your discipline to learn from him. Like I had masters. I was a disciple. I was a disciple of them. I mean, I went there to learn from them. But a disciplehood itself is a personal quality. It's a quality in deep openness. The trouble is people are closed. The mind closes everything. And once it is closed, all it wants to do is prove its point. It doesn't explore. We have been a victim of this closed mind for centuries. So many things was closed. And we inherited some of that mind and we suffered by it. Somebody's mind was closed and man cannot go to the moon. Somebody's mind was closed. Or man can't fly. And they have great arguments. If man's supposed to fly, you're supposed to have feathers in your ass. They have arguments. Now the question, are you a disciple of life? Are you a disciple in this life? Then you may choose to come and learn with me. That is not a problem. But are you a disciple? With all the events and experiences, have you used it to learn, to reveal something to you? I have observed this, the greatest failures, people who utterly fail, not just normal level failure, you know. This guy's got PhD. I have met them. The only reason they attain to PhD is they have not a single ounce as a disciple. No matter how they are preaching, no matter how they are saying. You meet them in coffee shops. They know everything about everything. I want you to reflect this very carefully today, so you do not fall onto that trap. That you can retain that openness of your brain. Scientists are saying the brain is plasticity or plastic, which is right in the context of Indian when they said you are full of Kaliman. Indian mothers will scold the children that your head is full of clay. So in that context, the Indians were right for a long time. My insight is, when you are a disciple, the brain is in its most natural plastic form. It can mold, it can shift, it can grow, it's still alive. The moment you conclude you're finished, it's like this. You think you know about you. No. You have known a little bit through living. What you are is not yet known. Maybe till the last breath you will never know. You'll still be knowing. All that you have known is just limited. False conclusion, valued, measured by the society scale. Do you know, in the 18th or 17th century, I was studying a bit of painting. They always draw women a couple of pounds overweight, 20 pounds. It's like they liked big women. But they considered it beauty. They knew it then, what beauty is. Now, they must be malnourished. Skin and bone. Eat 2 cream crackers a day. We call that, that's beautiful. And we know for certain. Have you seen? It just goes on and on. The shifting of knowing. You see, the moment you know, the brain becomes stuck. Sometimes you ask me, why, Master, I'm like this? Why am I stuck like this? I keep hearing, but I'm not doing anything. No, you have lost your plasticity. Somewhere you have lost your discipleness. Somewhere you have concluded. Somewhere the brain has crystallized. It's like this. In the last 100 years, it's one of the most exciting times because almost every belief we had was broken. If maybe in the early 19th century or the late 18th century, you say somebody will hold something square and talk to another person across the world, they would probably burn you on stake. We know that now. If I tell you 50 years, 100 years ago, that I can talk to tomorrow or yesterday, you wouldn't believe me. But I do it every day. I talk to Canadians. When I talk to Canadians, it's yesterday, right? For me, it's yesterday, isn't it? Something like that. But we are not in the same time. If today is, here's Monday, there is Sunday. I'm talking, how is Sunday? I'm talking across time. Can you imagine that? Or talk to somebody in the future. I'm asking you, in another 100 years. But that is just the movement of technology and science. Imagine you. Getting old is simply getting a brain fixed. When the brain doesn't evolve anymore, you become fixed. When the brain can mutate, the brain can grow, the brain can realize. I tell you, in 1992, I still remember the day, it was February 17th. One of the satoris I had, a very deep one, samadhi. It was the I&I Samadhi, if at all I want to use that word, and a complete I&I Samadhi. The only visual experience I can refer to is at that moment, it felt like on top of my head, sun burst open, right here. Inside, just like a 1,000 sun blinded me. I used to wonder, what was that? Unbelievable. I was gone for a while. When I came through, I thought I died. My insight into that experience or that incident was that the brain attained to its plasticity, maybe to its core. It became alive again. It started becoming receptive. It started being open. I ask you for today before we start. Are you a disciple of life? More than me claiming I'm a master, don't go there yet. Let me say, I am an absolute disciple of life. Even as I speak to you, I am open to learning. You see, the moment you are a disciple, your energy flows. Yesterday I said, when you come to your aloneness, the heart opens, right? This is another door. When you are a disciple, the heart is perpetually open. Not only the heart, the brain too. You're completely open. You will feel an upsurge of energy. You are so alive. And that aliveness is a must. And only through that aliveness, there is no violence. Human violence is nothing but me, my fixed state trying to exert itself is the only fixed state and trying to fix you. For the longest time, my younger days, on a personal level, I didn't have a problem, but on a principal level, I rejected the master-disciple relationship. I said, what is this? What nonsense is this? Until I came to realize if anything that can keep me a disciple is a help to me. If not, my brain tend to get corrupt. That is why right parenthood is the parents being a disciple of how to be a parent. And trust me, if you have kids, they'll teach you. Whether you teach them, I don't know. They will teach you. And they'll teach you fast. You know what is the olden idea? I know, you listen. The new idea, listen first. Then you might know something. I would like you to start today. Just a few minutes. Breathe, sit. Let this question becomes real. Are you a disciple? Don't worry about being my disciple. People come and say, I'm your disciple, Master. It doesn't make any difference to me. Are you a disciple? That's about it. Can you learn? That's all. Then I can play a role in your life. I'll be more than happy. But are you a disciple? Can you learn? Are you ready to learn moment to moment, every day? Are you ready to learn? Would you allow things to reveal itself? You see, life is a process of revelation after revelation after revelation. And participating in that revelation is the only way to live in deep joy. To be absolutely satisfied. That's why Anubha was asking me a beautiful question. He said, Master, I feel the energy you talk about, the creative energy when I'm alone. And when I exhaust the energy, somehow I don't feel like it's satisfying. No, he has exhausted, but he hasn't embodied in that exhaustion what he learned. It hasn't internalized as him. In that exhaustion, he must be revealed to him. In that revelation of him is the fulfillment. That revelation of him was what will lead to the I and I. Or the exhaustion of I and I. In my aloneness, when I go into my aloneness, I have no choice but to be a disciple. I tell you one incident. I was with a master for a long time. Meaning the excuse of martial art, he taught me a lot of things. He maybe had 2,000 students. But it appears now he's old and dying. From his love for me, that I'm the only one who kind of got right with him. Maybe a few. Not just me, maybe a few there. But so few. The thing is, he taught all the same. The difference was, I was a disciple. I learned. The rest just learned a little bit to pretend to be a master very quickly. The fault was not his. So many just came there to have an excuse to pretend to be a master. For me, he was an excuse for me to perpetually learn. Even now that he's dying, I look into his eyes. I wonder whether I will ever love him as much as he loves me. It's a strange thing. Now for a while, I leave you with this question. Are you a disciple?